Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Sherry reading Midland Reporter Telegram, Friday, November 3rd, 2023. Energize Midland Schools passes $500,000 in money raised. PAC supporting the $1.4 billion school bond also shows $347,518 in expenditures by Stuart Doreen. The Political Action Committee created to help pass the $1.4 billion bond reported passing $500,000 in political contributions during the campaign. Energize Midland Schools reported raising $112,674 during the second campaign period, the eighth day before the election report. That raised Energize Midland Schools' total political contributions to $537,540. The contributions included $75,000 from ConocoPhillips, the fourth $75,000 contribution during the campaign to go with donations from Chevron, Diamondback, and Pioneer Natural Resources during the first period. The report is connected to the Midland ISD school bond election scheduled for November 7th, next Tuesday. Apache Corporation and PBEX LLC added $10,000 contributions. During the two periods, there have been 11 contributions of $10,000 or more, totaling $405,000. Energize Midland Schools also reported $182,392.91 in political expenditures during the second campaign period, including $161,217 to No Box Creative for consulting, social media, radio, TV, mailers, and video shoots. Total expenditures during the two periods were $347,518. Energize Midland Schools reported having $282,394 in total political contributions maintained as of the last day of the reporting period. Other groups, Midlanders for Educational Excellence and Political Action Committee opposing the school bond, reported $4,709.71 in total political contributions and $7,442.07 in total political expenditures. Totals for MFEE during the two campaign finance periods were $10,252.76 in political contributions and $7,494.16 in political expenditures. Midlanders for Educational Excellence showed $2,757.79 in total political contributions maintained as of the last day of the reporting period. Move Midland, a C4 nonprofit group opposing the bond proposal, reported two political expenditures of $33,434.32 for yard signs, text messages, and direct mail. Rachel Walker, board president for Move Midland, previously told the Reporter Telegram that as a C4 nonprofit group, Move Midland is not required to fill out ongoing campaign finance reports. Information from the campaign finance reports ahead of the November 7th school bond election. Energize Midland Schools' total political contributions, $112,674.70. Total political expenditures, $182,392.91. Total political contributions maintained as of the last day of the reporting period, $282,394. Total principal amount of all outstanding loan as the last day of the reporting period, zero. Monetary political contributions of $500 or more. $75,000 from ConocoPhillips, $10,000 from Apache Corporation, PBEX LLC, $9,599.70, Brian Sheffield, $7,000, Ryan Anwar, $500, Crystal and Jay Edwards, Shane Louder. Political expenditures of $500 or more, $57,800, No Box Creative, Consulting, Social Media, Radio, TV, $48,479.75, no box creative, mailers. $38,477.50, no box creative, mailers. $20,000, Signal, OTT media flights. $16,460.23, no box creative, video shoots. Expenditures by credit card. $1,060.85, Cotton Patch Cafe, Midland. Over two periods, Energize Midland Schools, total political contributions, $537,540. Total political expenditures, $347,518. Midlanders for Educational Excellence, total political contributions, $4,709.71. Total political expenditures, $7,442.07. Total political contributions maintained as of the last day of the reporting period, $2,757.79. Total principal amount of all outstanding loan as of the last day of the reporting period, zero. Monetary political contributions of $500 or more, $1,500, Terry Bryant, Juan Mazzi. $500, Gregory Ostroff. Political expenditures, $500 or more. $4,059.38, A1 sign engravers, signs. $1,920, KWEL, radio advertising. $1,020, KWEL, radio advertising. Over two periods, Midlanders for Educational Excellence, total political contributions, $10,252.72. Total political expenditures, $7,494.16. Midland Reporter Telegram, Community National Bank Travels Bumpy Road to 40th Year, by Mella McEwen. In the aftermath of the failure of First National Bank of Midland in 1983, at the time the second largest bank failure in the nation and largest independent bank failure in state history, arose a new bank. Community National Bank marked its 40th anniversary this month, having survived the most difficult period in Midland banking history in its early years. After First National failed, Kenneth Peeler, president of Midland 66 Oil Company, gathered several business owners in South Midland, primarily along Florida Avenue, and said, "South Midland needs a bank. Midland needs another community bank," recounted Bill Stovall, the bank's chief executive officer. Peeler and his fellow investors opened a temporary location until the first building at 601 East Florida Avenue opened. Stovall said it remains the bank's biggest branch in terms of daily transactions. The bank survived the challenges of the late 1980s, which saw numerous Permian Basin and Texas banks fail. Bob Sutherland was brought in as president and put the bank on solid footing, cleaning up the balance sheet and addressing problems, Stovall said. He and Jeb Hughes, who served as chairman of the board of directors, joined the bank in 1996 from Norwest Bank, bringing their customer base with them. At the time, Stovall said the bank was a $60 million bank. In 2002, Community National acquired Bank United, which owned Midland American Bank, and doubled in size overnight to $160 million. Today, the bank is valued at $2 billion, with a loan portfolio of $1.5 billion. The bank has had success with oil and gas lending, something he said the bank has experience with and is a vital part of Midland's economy that isn't going away. And, he added, the bank isn't afraid of the oil-filled service industry either. If you're going to be a bank in the Permian Basin, you need to serve the service industry, he said. What the bank intends to do is continue to serve the small to medium businesses and residents of the Permian Basin. The bank just built a new headquarters in Odessa and a headquarters in Lubbock. We may be a $2 billion bank, but we still treat customers like we're a $60 million bank, he said. No matter how large we get, the customer is still treated the same. No matter what market you're in, if you're an independent bank, that's what you should be doing. What the bank won't do is repeat the mistakes that took down so many banks in the 1980s, Stovall said. Jeb and I say we've worked for banks in this market and we don't want to do business like in the 1980s. He said. He added that the philosophy let bank executives reassure concerned clients this spring when two large California banks and one New York bank failed. Just because you're big doesn't mean you're smart, he said. Those banks did not manage their portfolios properly. We've managed our portfolios wisely. We had some inquiries, but no exits from this bank. Midland Reporter Telegram, November 3rd, 2023. This is Sherry. Concrete Gallery is a playground for creative minds. Concrete Gallery is a sneaker and streetwear apparel shop inside Midland Park Mall by Ben Schaefer. EJ Cartier calls his shop Concrete Gallery, a playground for creative minds. Concrete Gallery is a sneaker and streetwear apparel shop Cartier founded. Cartier and crew buy sneakers from brands like Nike, Jordan, Adidas, and more and resell them at their location in Midland Park Mall. They also sell clothing from streetwear brands like Essentials, Antisocial Social Club, Bape, Supreme, and more. When you come in, you use your creativity to form an outfit, Cartier said. You try to put the pieces together. I really created it. Concrete. Something that's solid. Something that's hard. Something that's tangible. And gallery is for the sense that someone can come in and learn about sneaker culture, about streetwear culture, about pop art culture. A part of streetwear education, according to Cartier, includes talking with locals about the history of streetwear, why a sneaker or piece of clothing was released, when it was, and why a shoe is a certain color and the significance attached to it. Cartier, who was in his early 20s, moved from El Paso to Midland to open his store. He said the less saturated market motivated him to move east. I'm not going to open it, a store, where everybody else is. I'm going to open it in a crowd of hungry people, Cartier said about the move. Concrete Gallery just celebrated its two-year anniversary. Cartier said many kinds of people, old, young, and from different backgrounds, have visited the brick and mortar. People from all over the world come to Midland for work. It's from little kids wanting to... As for local streetwear and sneaker culture, Cartier said, even in the short time Concrete Gallery has been open, he has seen more interest in sneakers and street clothing. Now, it's like there's so many people that know about sneakers now, they want to buy the next shoe. They want to buy the new releases, Cartier said. A lot of people from out of town know that when you come to Midland, it's big on sneakers. Cartier said he has friends and connections in the sneaker world that are eyeing West Texas and Texas as a whole as potential landing spots for their stores. Cartier loves the puzzle that fashion and outfit coordination pose. He also enjoys seeing customers' enthusiasm and passion while they create their own personal statement through the clothes they decide to purchase. The fact that you can piece things together like a puzzle, you can make an outfit. You can make a statement with what you wear every day. I love other people's passion for it as well. When they come in and they're like, oh, this is so cool. I want to put this shirt and this shirt together with these pants. I got these pants. What shoes can I put with it? I love that, to see people put the pieces together. It's so much fun, Cartier said. One of EJ's friends and coworkers, Nate, met EJ in high school and moved with him to Midland from El Paso to open Concrete Gallery. Nate described EJ's qualities as a young business owner. He's a great leader, very charismatic, knows how to make good connections with customers, makes them feel very welcome, Nate remarked. Very outgoing, tries to go out of his way to help his customers as much as he possibly can in the best way he possibly can. When asked about the move with EJ to Midland from El Paso to open their store, Nate remarked, wouldn't change it for the world. Early voting heads into final day by Stuart Doreen. The Midland County Elections Office showed Thursday that 12,794 eligible voters from Midland County have cast a ballot during the early voting period before the November 7th election. Friday is the last day of early voting before Election Day. There are five early voting locations that will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Early voting locations. Elections Office, Midland County Annex Building, 2100 North A Street. Centennial Library, 2503 West Loop 250 North. Cogdell Learning Center, 201 West Florida Avenue. Fairmont Park Church of Christ, 3813 North Midland Drive. Village at Manor Park, Margaret Cowden Clubhouse, Sparks Great Room, 5212 Sinclair Avenue. Early voting hours for all locations are Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Early voting ballots cast. October 23rd, 933. October 24th, 1,288. October 25th, 1,218. October 26th, 1,102. October 27th, 1,626. October 28th, 1,074. Sunday, 350. Monday, 1,094. Tuesday, 1,111. Wednesday, 1,237. Thursday, 1,480. Mailed ballots received, 276. Total, 12,794. 2019 bond election, second Thursday, 1,596. total 12,371. Midland Reporter Telegram, November 3rd, HEB Texas Wildlife Series screening at Centennial Park by Morgan Taylor Thomas. In August, beloved Texas grocery superstore HEB released a five-part short film docuseries focusing on Lone Star wildlife and conservation efforts, titled Our Texas, Our Future. The creation comes from the combined works of the Austin-based and award-winning team at Fin and Fur Films. Original music from Austin-based crew Shane Smith and the Saints, showcased in Yellowstone Season 5, Episode 1, and narration by Shane Smith. HEB has a deep commitment to support all Texans, and that includes helping to protect, conserve, and beautify our great state for people to enjoy now and for generations to come. We're excited to support these passionate filmmakers and their mission to tell important stories that we hope will inspire people to celebrate and protect the diverse habitats, unique wildlife, and beautiful landscapes across Texas. Leslie Sweet, Managing Director of Sustainability and Environmental Affairs, said in an HEB newsroom press release. Ocelots, black bear, wild redfish, and bats are just a few of the animals featured throughout the docuseries. State parks are also celebrated. On Saturday, Centennial Park and the I-20 Wildlife Preserve will hold a screening of Our Texas, Our Future. In the park, as Midland's own private party connected to the Alamo Drafthouse Rolling Roadshow screening being held at Guadalupe River State Park. Midlanders are invited to bring chairs and blankets to view the film from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pets are not allowed on the park lawn and should prepare for weather in the 40s. No entry fee or ticket is required. Midland is home to the second highest gas prices in Texas by Ben Schaefer. After 34 consecutive weeks, the state gas price average fell below $3. Still, fuel prices in Midland remain 20 cents higher than the state average, AAA reported. Fuel prices in Midland are the second highest in the state, according to AAA. Even after an 8-cent week-over-week decrease, Midland's $3.13 average gas price sits 5 cents behind El Paso. The state average is $3.13. A year ago, gas prices in Midland on average were $3.32. The state average was $3.16 one year ago. Gas prices in Odessa dropped 10 cents this week and are 10 cents cheaper than in Midland. Odessa is home to the fourth most expensive fuel in the state, $3.03. San Angelo and Abilene are the only West Texas cities where prices fell below $3. Averages around the region included $2.80 in Abilene, $2.90 in San Angelo, $3 in Lubbock, and $3.01 in Amarillo. Gas prices in Corpus Christi are the cheapest in the state with a $2.75 average. Victoria, $2.78. Sherman-Denison, $2.80. Abilene, $2.80, and Tyler, $2.83, round out the lowest five statewide. As for falling statewide gas prices, AAA reported, the recent switchover to cheaper winter blend gas, as well as increasing supply of gasoline, are the main factors leading to cheaper retail fuel. Add to that, Texas now has the lowest statewide average of any state in the country. Meanwhile, California is paying the most at $5.21 per gallon. Midland Reporter Telegram, November 3, 2023. Life Tributes. Christine Elaine Rotan of Midland, Texas, peacefully passed away on October 29, 2023, at the age of 73. Born on July 15, 1950, in Warren, Pennsylvania, she was the beloved life of David Rotan. A gathering to honor Christine's remarkable life will be held at the Branch at Nailey Pickle Welch on Saturday, November 4th, 2023, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Family and friends are invited to attend and share their memories of Christine's beautiful journey. Let us celebrate her life and find solace in each other's company as we bid a final farewell to this extraordinary woman. Arrangements are under the direction of Nailey Pickle Welch, Nailey Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Life Tribute, Eileen Vanderlee. Eileen Vanderlee, 98, of Midland, passed away October 31st, 2023. Services will be at St. Matthew's Episcopal Church, Austin, at 2 p.m. on November 11th, with live stream on the church's YouTube channel. Cremation arrangements are under the direction of Nailey Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Life Tribute, Shirley Orr Smith. June 4th, 1937 to October 29th, 2023. Shirley Ray Orr Smith, a devoted wife, mother, and mentor, passed away on October 29, 2023, leaving behind a legacy of love and service. Born in Kilgore, Texas, Shirley's journey was one of unwavering dedication to God, family, and all whom she met. A memorial service to celebrate Shirley's life will be held on November 4th at 4 p.m. in the Ortloff Room in the clubhouse at Manor Park, 2208 North Loop 250 West, Midland, Texas, 79707. In lieu of flowers, the family kindly requests donations be made to Manor Park Incorporated at the address above or at www.manorparkinc.org.
New mental health support group is free. An Odessa speech therapist saw a need and plans to meet it with a new mental health support groups on the first and third Monday of each month. Morgan Cadilla, who co-owns MOJO Speech Therapy in Odessa, said the idea came to her and she got her church, Tanglewood Baptist Church, on board. "I'm a follower of Christ who also struggles with anxiety and depression," she said. "Several years ago, I began looking for a mental health support group. I have seen the value of fellowship and community through my own church and through support groups for other needs. I did not find a support group solely for mental health, which surprised me, and it is obviously a need. And who better to support the broken than the church? So I decided to start one, and I found this organization called Fresh Hope, which sounded like everything that I was hoping and praying for. Fresh Hope Mental Health Support Group will begin meeting on the first and third Mondays of each month at 6:30 p.m. on November the 6th at Tanglewood Baptist Church, 3737 Tanglewood Lane. The groups are peer-led for those with a diagnosis and for their loved ones. There is no cost for the support groups. Candia said attendees can expect peer-led facilitated support groups. This will not be led by a professional counselor, therapist, doctor. Trained facilitators are typically people who are living with a mental health diagnosis of their own. She said the group topics and discussions will be led or facilitated by a person who has experienced much of what the group members are going through. She said what group sessions focus on will depend on the size of the group and preferences once the meetings begin on Monday. Breakout sessions are recommended if it is a large group. It can be divided by diagnosis or even by those with a diagnosis and loved ones of those with a diagnosis. Candia said there is a need locally for support groups and that primarily she is seeing folks dealing with anxiety. "I speak to people daily who have walked or are walking journeys similar to mine. Reducing the stigma and getting churches and faith communities more comfortable with these topics has become a passion of mine." She said no one should suffer in silence or alone with dealing with mental health issues and encourage Odessans to come to these free events. "If you have felt alone, isolated, or stigmatized because of anxiety, depression, or any other mental health diagnosis, please know that you're not alone and that there is hope. These kinds of emotions make us feel as if no one else could possibly understand. I promise many understand, and more importantly, God understands. There is hope and joy in living in spite of a mental health diagnosis. That's what Fresh Hope is all about. Call 432-638-1847 for more information."
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, November 2nd. 2023. Three Things to Do in Midland This Weekend by Ben Schaefer. Christmas Village Market. more than 100 vendors will set up shop at the third annual Christmas Village Market at the Horseshoe, Friday through Sunday. Attendees can enjoy a mimosa or a signature drink while they shop. The market will open from 1 to 8 p.m. Friday. On Saturday, the market will last from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. On Sunday, the market will run from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Vendors will sell Christmas gifts, including clothing, jewelry, knives, furniture, toys, books, home decor, and sauces, according to Mad Hustle Events. Attendees can visit with Santa Claus and the Grinch throughout the event. There will also be a painting class and a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation Costume Contest at 2 p.m. Saturday. The silent auction will benefit Dog Rescue R Us. Rescue Runners. According to the City of Midland website, Rescue Runners is a volunteer program designed to help walk or run shelter dogs. Rescue Runners meet the first and third Saturday of each month. This outing allows for the dogs to showcase their personality outside the kennel, which fosters adoption and fostering opportunities. Volunteers aged 15 and older can participate as long as underage volunteers have a parental guardian on the route. C.S. Lewis on stage, Further Up and Further In. According to the Wagner Knoll, the producers of the Screwtape Letters will bring a theatrical experience to the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center that takes the audience into the spiritual journey of Chronicles of Narnia author C.S. Lewis. When Lewis came to faith in 1931, it wasn't obvious how that journey would unfold. Why did the BBC suddenly give him a national audience to deliver unprecedentedly popular radio talks that would become mere Christianity? How did Hitler's devious charm influence the writing of the Screwtape Letters? Why was Lewis such an effective apologist, evangelist to skeptics? Was it prayer? Was it his expectation of the Second Coming? Or his profoundly deep longing for heaven? Using Lewis' own words within a vividly immersive multimedia experience, award-winning actor Max McLean takes you further up and further in the mind and heart of one of the most imaginative and gifted writers in history, the Wagner Knoll website states. Grand opening, November 3rd, of Energy City Bikes, West Texas Community Bike Shop. Door prizes, refreshments, and fun. November 3rd at 2810 West Loop 250 in the Commons North Park. www.energycitybikes.com. Call 432-203-4394. Operation hours Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. But grand opening November 3rd.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, October 28th. Advanced nuclear technology has role in Permian. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Think nuclear energy and Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, Fukushima may quickly come to mind. But those involved in nuclear energy insist that the nuclear energy space has significantly evolved in terms of technology and safety. and proponents of nuclear energy are bringing their case to the Permian Basin, the heart of oil and natural gas production, to make their case. The discussion should not be about oil and natural gas, but about energy, all energy, said Chris Wright, Chief Executive Officer of Liberty Energy. He brought the founder of Oklo, which builds small modular reactors, along with Oklo's head of business development to Midland this week to discuss their reactor technology. His company has made a $10 million investment in Oklo. The reasons were twofold, Wright told the Reporter Telegram. Quote, "This is the shale oil and gas capital of the world with the people who are leaders in the industry," he said. "If the energy dialogue is about improving lives, these are the people I want engaged in that dialogue," end quote. The second reason is the growing electrification of the oil patch, from drilling rigs to frack fleets, and the need to be able to access that electricity in the Permian Basin, he said. Jake DeWitt, Oklo founder, agreed, telling the Reporter Telegram that as the Permian Basin oil patch becomes increasingly electrified, the challenge to meet that demand will grow. The small modular reactors Oklo manufactures will help close that transmission gap and reduce stress on the grid, he said. And because these reactors require much less space and are less expensive to build, he said they can be deployed to areas where the population doesn't have access to any electricity or to reliable, affordable, abundant electricity. The technology also utilizes recycled fuel, converting used nuclear fuel into clean energy. Oklo is preparing to deploy its first reactors, known as the Aurora Powerhouse, beginning in 2027, having received approval for its Quality Assurance Program description from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The company has also submitted updated combined license application for its first reactor, as well as subsequent applications for additional reactors, Brian Gett, Oklo's head of business development, said. Quote, "Nuclear is going to dominate electric generation," Gett predicted. "Oil and natural gas are the foundation of civilization. I see these as synergistic technologies," end quote. It operates under a business model whereby customers sign a power purchase agreement and Oklo operates the reactors. Chevron says lessons from Permian will be used in Hess acquisition. The story was written by Miller McEwen, oil editor. Chevron Corporation, already dominant in the Permian Basin, spread its reach this week with the $53 billion acquisition of Hess Corporation, adding Bakken assets and in Guyana. In discussing the deal in a call with analysts, Chevron Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Mike Wirth explained how the new assets will fit in with its Permian Basin and Denver-Julesburg holdings. Wirth told analysts that the people who joined Chevron after its acquisition of Noble Energy and PDC Resources brought with them an excellent understanding and skill in developing the assets, and he expects the Hess people who will join Chevron will do the same with the Bakken holdings being purchased. Quote, "We do have a large technical organization, and we're working hard on any number of technologies that can improve fracture geometry and improve the mechanics down at a kind of nano level of loosening the hydrocarbons from the rock matrix and getting those to flow," he told analysts. "So we're focused on a suite of technologies, many of which we're piloting in this field this year in the Permian, and are intended to improve recoveries out of shale. As those mature and prove up, we would apply those across our entire portfolio, including the Bakken," end quote. Wirth stressed that Chevron wants to be big in the Permian, quote, and in fact are, with more than 2 million net acres in the region. We've got a very advantaged Permian position. Last quarter, we reported 775,000 barrels a day of production, still on track toward 1 million barrels a day in 2025, he told analysts. As a company, he said Chevron produces about 3 million barrels a day, meaning its Permian output comprises a quarter to a third of its total. Quote, I don't know that making our Permian position bigger necessarily makes us a much different company to own. We certainly would like to make the Permian better. We do that every day through land transactions that are at a level you might not see, but it improves the contiguous acreage we have to develop, and will continue to do that, he said. Texas Pacific Land offers acreage for Milestone Carbon Hub. The story was written by Mellon McEwen, oil editor. Milestone Carbon's plans for carbon hubs in the Midland and Delaware basins are moving forward courtesy of land agreements. The company, a subsidiary of Milestone Environmental Services, announced last month its plans for a Midland Basin hub, acquiring rights to more than 10,000 acres of land and pore space in Midland and Upton counties. Now the company has reached an agreement to lease more than 22,000 acres of land and pore space in Loving and Midland counties from Texas Pacific Land Corporation. Texas Pacific Land declined to comment beyond a statement from Tyler Glover, chief executive officer, which reads, quote, continued development of carbon capture projects by Milestone Carbon is promising, and we are excited that TPL's expansive surface footprint could potentially serve as a key resource to this emerging industry. This is another opportunity that reaffirms our commitment to sustainability, and we are encouraged by the potential benefits carbon capture could provide in the future for all the stakeholders involved in these projects, end quote. The company deferred further comment to Milestone Carbon. Chris Davis, senior vice president at Milestone Carbon, told the reported Telegram the agreement will let the company move forward with its Delaware Basin hub, which will be twice the size of the Midland Basin hub. Quote, with this land, it lets us move forward in a meaningful way with permitting, Davis said. The company has been working with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and the Railroad Commission on permits, recently receiving a Class II injection well permit from the Railroad Commission, allowing for the sequestration of CO2 from local natural gas processors. Milestone has also submitted a Class 6 injection well permit application to the Environmental Protection Agency, which has confirmed it is administratively complete. This permit would increase the sequestration capacity and allow Milestone to inject CO2 from other industrial sources, supporting Permian Basin decarbonization efforts. Davis said another forward step in the process is drilling a test well in one or both basins to determine how well the sites can permanently sequester carbon dioxide. With acreage in hand and permitting efforts advancing, Davis said it is time to talk with industry about the project. Quote, we want emitters to reserve capacity at these sites, he said. The idea is you know carbon needs to go somewhere, and if you know where it can go, reserve space now, end quote. What enthuses Davis the most about the hubs is how they can be magnets for the economic development by attracting new industries, hydrogen, low-carbon ammonia, low-carbon power, that need to develop near-carbon hubs and technologies, all of which will serve to create jobs. Said Davis, quote, "We're really going to focus as we enter 2024 on working with local leaders and stakeholders and get them excited about the potential for economic development," end quote. Milestone receives permit for Stanton Landfill. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Record Texas oil and natural gas production means rising levels of oil field waste. As a result, operators are increasingly seeking professionally managed and permitted facilities that can move their waste streams. Milestone Environmental Services has built a network of 10 disposal facilities, 9 in Texas and 1 in New Mexico, that consists of slurry injection sites and RCRA-exempt waste landfills. The company just received approval from the Railroad Commission for its third landfill to be located with Milestone's existing slurry injection facility 10 miles south of Stanton. With the permit, plans to develop the 78-acre, 12.4 million cubic yard landfill are underway. Quote, "This landfill was a natural extension, a service expansion," Richard Leeper, Milestone's executive vice president of energy waste, told the Reporter Telegram. Leeper continued, quote, "Our business model, I think, is aligned with contemporary expectations on waste disposal," end quote. Meaning the fluids injected at Milestone's slurry injection site can't be injected through saltwater disposal networks or taken to landfills because they're fluids. Quote, "We're putting those fluids, that waste stream, back where it came from. It originated underground through the drilling, completion, and production process," he said. The process also helps Milestone's clients sequester the carbon dioxide associated with that waste through the injection process, he said. "What's needed is more infrastructure to handle energy waste," Leeper said, "which is why the company is investing in expanding its network as well as in carbon sequestration through its Milestone Carbon subsidiary. The world is going to need multiple forms of energy in the future, including fossil fuels," he said. "The industry will need to clean up after itself during the energy transition," he added. Quote, "If the industry has an economically, technically viable solution, that plays into our strengths," he said. While disposal challenges to the industry vary widely, Leeper said water is the biggest challenge the industry faces, consuming water, managing water, reusing water. Quote, "Innovation and finding solutions to technically and economically viably reuse water are at the forefront," he said. "A good portion of the water produced alongside oil and natural gas is reused in the drilling and completion process. If there is a way to reuse the remaining water in other industries, such as agriculture, that would have an enormous impact," he said. "Treating water for reuse is something the company would be interested in considering," he said, "if a process comes along whereby those waste streams can be used economically and would benefit the industry." The following is an opinion article. Texas oil and gas will fuel global prosperity. This was written by Ray Perryman, economist with the Perryman Group. The U.S. Energy Information Administration recently released its long-term projections for global fuel demand. The International Energy Outlook 2023 looks at long-term energy trends across the world through 2050. It includes 7 scenarios with widely varying assumptions regarding economic growth, zero carbon technology costs, and oil prices. Of particular relevance to the Texas economy, every case indicates higher worldwide consumption of oil and natural gas in 2050 than in 2022. The key drivers of energy consumption are population and economic growth. Global population is projected to rise by 1.7 billion, with 94% of the growth in Africa, India, and emerging countries, primarily in the Asia-Pacific region. The forecasts indicate that global gross domestic product will more than double by 2050 in all but the low economic growth case. Great news in that economic expansion is the only meaningful approach to enhancing opportunity and reducing poverty and related human suffering. Additionally, with higher incomes, more people can afford to drive and fly, use commercial services, purchase goods, and heat or cool their homes and other buildings. In other words, with global progress comes the need for more energy. Under every scenario, renewable energy consumption increases faster than other energy sources, though starting from a much smaller base, primarily due to increased use for power generation. The non-fossil fuel share of primary energy grows from 21% in 2022 to a range of 29% to 34% in 2050 across the cases. This expansion is very good news for many reasons. Because of this transition to lower carbon energy sources, the level of CO2 emissions per unit of primary energy is expected to decrease through 2050, but overall emissions nonetheless increase due to rising demand. As noted, consumption of oil and gas is projected to rise across all scenarios. The usage of coal is up in some scenarios, but down in others. Incidentally, coal currently accounts for about one-third of worldwide fossil fuel energy use and comprises more than 25% more than all renewables combined. Switching coal for cleaner-burning natural gas would be a giant step in the right direction. Clearly, a lot can and will change in the coming decades. New technologies could be discovered and deployed. Better and less expensive batteries, for example, would increase the viability and widespread use of wind and solar generation. Similarly, improved carbon capture approaches could switch priorities around. Future policy changes are yet another factor. One thing is clear: improving the lives and prospects of a growing global population will require energy and lots more of it. Much of this fuel for prosperity will come from Texas because of its vast resources of both natural gas and low-carbon oil, both onshore and offshore. Stay safe. M. Ray Perryman is president and chief executive officer of the Perryman Group, which has served the needs of more than 3,000 clients over the past four decades.
Dear Abby, young adult weighs difficult decisions. Dear Abby, I'm 24 and not where I want to be in life. I have goals and dreams I would like to accomplish. However, my family is super family-oriented. I work for my dad in a family business. He always talks business with me. I do not want to go into the family business. I have my reason. One being his side of the family works there and we don't get along. They've never accepted my mom, so therefore they don't accept me. The other reason is I'm not interested in the business. My problem is, this is the best I've ever gotten along with my dad. I'm worried he will want nothing to do with me if I quit. On the other hand, my mom has always been supportive. I worry that if I moved away, we wouldn't be so close. I just feel like if I go after my goals and dreams, it will ruin my relationship with my family. What do you think? Eye on the future. Dear Ion, you are no longer a child. You're an adult who is overdue for a serious talk with your father about those goals and dreams of yours, as well as the treatment you have received from his side of the family. Write your thoughts down before approaching the subject with him. If your father loves you, as I'm sure he does, he will want you to be happy as well as successful. If you can't find the courage to approach this on your own, consider enlisting the help of a licensed mental health professional to help you create some emotional separation. Wanting independence is not a rejection of your father, nor would gaining it guarantee you would no longer be as close to your mom. Dear Abby, I have hard feelings for my oldest son. A few years back, I was diagnosed with cancer and needed radiation treatments. The hospital is in my son's hometown, so I asked him if I could sit in their living room between my two treatments a day for 6 days. He said he would talk to his wife about it. I tried to call him the day before my treatment started, but he wouldn't answer his phone. I had to sit in my car, the cold of winter, for 6 hours between treatments. I can't seem to get past this. I don't bring it up to him, but I resent him and his wife for letting me down in my time of need. How can I get over this and let the resentment go? Sad in the Midwest. Dear Sad, are you and your son and daughter-in-law communicating now? Have they ever explained why they acted the way they did? Did you and your daughter-in-law have some kind of falling out before your diagnosis? That you were left sitting in a car between cancer treatments on cold winter days seems unconscionable. That you also can't get over it seems rational to me. This may be something you should discuss with your religious advisor if you have one. Should you need medical assistance in the future, I hope you have found other resources, because if you reach out in your son's direction, all you should expect is more silence.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.